In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Well, welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry. I'm Pastor Greg, and it's always a joy to be able to just spend some time with you in the morning. We're glad you're with us this morning. In our studio, we have the privilege of having various types of folks, and Dave and Julie Rudolph are visiting with us today and the next couple of times. They are what we call missionaries. I call them church staff. The Great Commission was given to us as a church, and you folks are helping us carry out that Great Commission. So you're not local church staff. You're just kind of extended church staff. And we're privileged to be able to have you back and spend some time with us. You're in South Africa. Tell us what South Africa is like.
Well, thank you, Pastor Greg, and we do concur with you that the local church is the authority by which missionaries are sent out. So we defer back to our sending churches here. Thank you for that. Yeah, South Africa is obviously right. It's a country on the continent of Africa. It's way down on the southern tip. It's a country of about 55 million people, and Bishop Tutu famously referred to it as the Rainbow Nation because of the blend and mix of cultures and languages. Europeans settled on the subcontinent over the last 300 years. So we had Dutch settlers, British settlers, French settlers. The Huguenots came. About 200 of them settled there several hundred years ago, fleeing persecution in Europe.
Yeah.
So it's an amazing mix. And then, of course, you've got the tribal people. We have 11 official languages in South Africa, so it adds to the complexity. It's a modern country. It's a modern mix of Western civilization and African culture. Mm-hmm. Politically, it's had a very difficult time over the last 100 years or so.
Yeah.
But what a great opportunity. It's a wide open door for the gospel, and we can talk about the religious fabric of the country as we go along.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You have been there 34 years.
Yes, sir. 34 years.
You were born there, right?
I'm an African. I'm a fifth generation African. I'm one of those, a product of those settlers. My ancestors came from Germany in 1856 to South Africa.
Okay.
But one of the sons of those original settlers moved north with Cecil Rhodes to found the country of Rhodesia.
Yeah, yeah.
So my father was born in Rhodesia. I was born in Rhodesia.
Okay.
Which later became Zimbabwe, taken over by a Marxist regime, which forced me out of the country.
Hmm.
It was providential because...
You were how old?
Well, I was 19 years old at the time. Okay. I'd been fighting in the Rhodesian Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
And when the democratic election took place, which brought in the new Marxist government, I was free to leave. So I came to the United States to get trained for ministry. I'd gotten saved under the ministry of an American missionary who came right in the middle of the war, which was just a phenomenal thing. I don't know how his family back in the States really dealt with that, but God used him. Many folks were saved and called to ministry during those last years in the country of Rhodesia. So I came to the United States to get trained for ministry. That's where I met Julie.
Was he kind of lost until he found you, Julie?
Not really. No, I was also, we were studying at Bob Jones, but I was in the missions program.
Uh-huh.
My parents were modeled missions, really, on this continent because they were in Canada planting a church there.
Oh, yeah.
So I was born in Canada, and as a very young girl, felt like the Lord wanted me to be a missionary in Africa.
Interesting.
And so by the time I met Dave, I'd gone through a series of events that had changed my direction from the country of Kenya to South Africa.
Okay, okay.
So I was very interested in South Africa.
Yeah.
He says I was very interested in him and chasing him, but it really wasn't that way.
Was that so difficult to believe?
No, certainly not.
Yeah, but I'm really thankful. Missions is a difficult thing sometimes, thinking of raising your support, being in a different culture, and there are some women that do it on their own, but I'm really thankful that God provided just the man I needed, and that as a team we can serve the Lord together.
Yeah, for sure.
It's been an amazing partnership all of these years.
So did you guys get married right after graduation?
Dave was a year behind me, so I went back to grad school for a year after we first met. And we literally went to candidate school for our missionary things right from college. We went there for a month. We went up to Canada the following week and got married and went on our honeymoon and had our first deputation meeting on our honeymoon in Prince Edward Island.
No, you didn't.
We did.
We felt an urgency.
My goodness.
We were on the road, but we raised our support very quickly. Within 9 months, we traveled full time and had our support.
God was gracious to us, and it was a very exciting time. We were in our mid-20s. You know, nothing scares you when you're in your mid-20s, although it should have. But what a wonderful time that was to see God working. And the deputation experience was very useful or good for us. We needed that. I think missionaries need that exposure to the churches and to have the opportunity of some of the tests of your faith, trusting the Lord to provide.
Yeah.
So that was a brief time for us compared to most, but it was a very memorable time for us.
Did you do most of it in Canada?
No, very little in Canada.
Very little.
We did some of it there, but primarily on the eastern seaboard of the United States.
Okay.
Now that's where we raised the bulk of our support.
We went wherever we had a contact. You know, if you met somebody and they knew somebody, because Dave wasn't from this country, and so he was limited. My dad knew some people because he had also was American and had studied in America. But anytime we'd go to a conference and we'd meet somebody and they'd recommend us to another place, we would follow that up. So,
okay. Yeah, it's a very narrow market, if I could use that term, because you're looking for churches of like faith.
Mm.
Yeah. You're looking for churches that share your convictions and who would be sympathetic to your methodologies. And we couldn't stay in one geographical location. That wouldn't have made sense. So we just followed the leads, and God blessed in an amazing way.
So you have churches all over the United States?
Not quite. As far west as Denver, Colorado.
Okay.
But everything east of that, yes, it's quite scattered, but it's manageable. We have just 36 or 37 churches, and Julie will talk about the furlough parts of how we do our furloughs to help you understand how that works, but... it's a manageable amount of churches.
Okay.
And we have some really good churches. I mean, we've been really blessed with
good
leadership in churches, good pastors, people that are interested in missions
and
what we're doing, you know. And so that's been a real blessing.
Brookside Baptist is a good example of that.
I mean, over the years, to know that you have the prayer support, as much as the financial support, you need to know that people are behind you, praying for you, because that's an integral part of what we need on the field.
Now, Dave, you mentioned furlough. Back in the day, you went for 4 years, never came back, but could have been because you went on a boat, and it took you a couple months to get there, but you came back for a year, you traveled on furlough, reporting to all the churches, that kind of a thing. How much has that changed down through the years?
Well, like, our world has gotten a lot smaller, obviously. You can be anywhere in the world within 24 hours. So travel isn't the issue. And most mission fields around the world have easy access to modern medicine. One of the problems that those missionaries of old had to face were the tropical diseases.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And had to come back to the United States to get treated.
For the dentist, even, or the eye doctor, or surgeries, and all of those things.
Okay.
So the extended time was important for them to have that travel time, health time, reporting time.
And also there's a lot of pressures on young families, especially on the mission field, with their children, schooling, education, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to disrupt the continuity of your children's education if they're in a public school, for instance, or even in a Christian school on the field.
Yeah.
But then there's the ministry dynamic. It's very difficult. Can you imagine an American pastor leaving his church for a year and hoping that everything will be fine when he gets back?
With no one to take his pulpit.
Right. No one to take his pulpit. So we've learned through the years that the shorter term of service on the field is far more conducive to good missionary work, and then a shorter time back in North America to see family and to report back to the churches. So you do that on a more regular basis. Now, there's no hard and fast rule. You know, used to be 4 years on the field, 1 year back in the United States, and then some replace that with 2 years on the field with 6 months back. We have found ours to be far more varied than that. It's a little bit more intuitive. Sometimes we're on the field for 2 years and we're back for 3 months, or we're there on the field for 3 years and back for 5 months. It varies, but every family has the privilege and opportunity to regulate that according to their own requirements.
Okay, your mission board doesn't...
I think mission boards have become quite flexible on this in recent years, for sure. They've had to.
Right. So as you take those furloughs, a lot of it's on the road then, reporting.
Yes. Again, every missionary family deals with it differently, but because we don't have a home base here in the United States, we get a vehicle, and we literally go from church to church and try and get it done as fast as we can. We don't take any vacation time, for instance, when we're here in the States. Julie might speak to this, but we vacation on the field because there's so much to see and do in Southern Africa.
Yeah, we've been very fortunate, you know, as we've traveled back and forth to visit other countries with our children. Right, so as we were coming to the States, we weren't coming on a holiday, but we would find something enjoyable to do, stop in Germany or England. Right. But when we're on the field for those times, it's also important for the families to have a little breakaway. And, well, South Africa is an amazing country. I don't know if you've ever visited.
Never have.
We always did invite you. But
we always come.
It's not too late. But we're very thankful that we could take our kids in South Africa to the Kruger National Park, to the Victoria Falls in Zimbabwe, and things like that. So
as we kind of wrap this up, it sounds exciting. Mm-hmm. Sounds like the Lord has just really given a lot of ministry opportunities.
Yes.
And we will continue our conversation. So, folks, join us next time as we continue to think about how to be effective where God has planted you. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.